Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and I just want to welcome you and give thanks for all the listeners that listen each week and the emails that we receive and the prayer requests. I asked last week, I think, or one of the other programs about the piece I was giving out on the Holy Spirit. We sent out several of those. If you'd like some scriptures on the Holy Spirit, email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. We've been working our way through the Apostles' Creed over the past 7 weeks. And we know that this creed was used as a baptismal confession, and it was an early teaching of the church. Creed means believe. So the Apostles' Creed would mean what the apostles believed. And I'm really happy that we will be doing last weekend we did an actual baptism at our church. A young 24-year-old girl had been attending church, and she been following the sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, and she said, "Pastor, I want to be baptized and accept Jesus as my Savior and dedicate my life to Him." What a powerful statement when people say they want to dedicate their lives to Christ. If you've never been baptized, I'm going to encourage you to go and talk to your pastor or talk to a pastor and say, "I want to be baptized and join the church and proclaim my faith." Join me in the reading of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, we have in our reading today two New Testament readings. And the first reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. Paul loved the church in Ephesus and spent 3 years there with the saints. The second reading comes from the letter to the Hebrews. No one really knows who wrote the book of the Hebrews, and many scholars believe that Paul was the author, but we're not sure. Before we go to God's Word, I would just ask that you would join me in prayer, and if you're driving or working, just keep your eyes open, but I'll pray, and join me in a prayer. God, You are the Creator and sustainer of life. You give Your life to us, and You ask that we give our lives to You, and we ask that the Holy Spirit would come and transform these written words into living words of life that will forever change our hearts and minds. Thank You for the living example of Jesus, and help us to walk in the light and the truth of Your words. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 16. Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. Listen for God's word for you today. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Paul's writing this letter while he's in prison, and he's asking those. He says, I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm not a prisoner of the guards. He says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up unto him and who is the head, that is, the Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's a long reading, and my goodness, there are tons and tons of sermons just in those 16 verses. One body, one spirit, one God, one Father, one baptism, one faith, one Lord, who is over all and through all, and how we're supposed to be humble and gentle and patient and bearing with one another. Turn in your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. These are some of my favorite verses in the Scripture. The writer says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." I'm going to digress for just a minute. No one can run your race but you. And what the writer is saying, let go of the things that are holding you back. Let go of the sin. Let go of the things that entangle you, and run with perseverance your race. Don't try and run my race. Don't run your friend's race or your neighbor's race or your coworker's race. Run your race. Verse 2, he says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you'll not grow weary and lose heart. I'm amazed and overwhelmed to think that for over 1,800 years, that's a long time, 1,800 years, the faithful followers of Christ have gathered week after week. They have repeated these simple words of faith. From homes to caves to ships to prisons, large and small churches have gathered to confess what they believe. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the church, the communion of the saints. I believe in the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. Amen. So what? I always ask a so what. I read these passages, I wrestle with them, but what is the application? My so what for you, if you're listening, is what do you believe? What do you believe? Who do you believe today? Who do you believe? And why do you believe? Well, let's jump deep into the pool of faith for just a minute. What does it mean to say that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church? First, we need to note that the words Holy Catholic Church are not capitalized as in the Holy Roman Catholic Church. No, the letters are all lowercase. If you'd look it up in the dictionary, you'd learn that it means Catholic means all-embracing or universal. When we say we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, we're saying we believe in the all-embracing, backwards and forwards church from the time of Jesus Christ through today. We believe in this holy, all-embracing body of Christ. Someone told me the other day that their son had a tattoo on his shoulder, and it was IBIB. Now, I didn't see his tattoo, but the father told me he had these little initials, IBIB, and I said, well, what's it mean? I believe, I belong. I believe, I belong. When we say that we believe in God, that we believe in Jesus, that we believe in the Holy Spirit, we are saying that we belong to the body of Christ called the church. The Greek word for church is ekklesia, and it literally means those who are called out. The word Catholic simply means universal or all-embracing. Stop and think for a minute. Imagine all the churches throughout the past almost 21 centuries. Think of all the different continents, seven on earth that I know of. Think of all the different cultures. Each local gathering of believers belongs to the one universal, all-embracing church because of the very profession Paul wrote about in Ephesians. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The word one is used seven times in these three short verses. Seven is the number of completeness. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. The church is universal, or small c, Catholic, all-embracing, because it makes up for all the all-embracing microcosms of human society. The church, the ecclesia, the called-out ones, includes every kind of person, rich or poor, male or female, Jew or Gentile, slave or free, white, black, brown, yellow, red, all colors. And it is the waters of baptism that makes all of our social divisions irrelevant. The early 13th Italian theologian Thomas Aquinas wrote, "Because no one is rejected, neither Lord nor servant, neither male or female." You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship, and this is Pastor Dave. Stop and think about what we've been saying for a minute. Jesus gathered around him 12 disciples. He taught them for 3 years, and then he commissioned them to go out and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching all that he had commanded. This was the beginning of the church. They called out ones. We're all a part of this all-embracing community. Matthew 28:18-20 says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" When we confess that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, we are saying that from the very beginning of the Christian Church in 33 AD through to this very day, we affirm and we believe in the fact that this church is holy, all-embracing, and universal. Not just this church, not just the Seed Christian Fellowship where I pastor, but it's your church if you go to church. And listen, if you don't have a home church, email me at Pastor Dave and we'll help you find a church. Not just, did you know that there's 37 million churches around the world? I Googled it. 37 million churches. Hey, you can Google and find a church in your area. Today, 37 million churches. But we're saying, when we say today, when we say that we believe that in the body of Christ from the days of Christ to today, we believe in this body, past, present, and future. First, the word saint means someone who is holy. Have you ever thought of yourself as holy? Have you ever thought of yourself as a saint? Christians are holy, not because of anything we have inside of us or anything that we have done or could do. Christians are holy because of the one who called us is holy. Let me say that again. Christians are holy, not because of who we are, but because of the one who called us is holy. The fact that we are called saint or holy has nothing to do with our merits, our piety, or our sanctity of life. It has everything to do with the fact that God is holy, and we responded to his call to come home and belong to him. To say that we believe in the communion of saints, does that mean that we believe in a holy club? It means we believe in a holy God. who has called us to belong to a community of believers. I love how Paul opens his letter to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 1:2. He says, "To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and our Lord." When Jesus called Levi the tax collector, Levi was a sinner and an outcast. Yet Jesus called him. When Jesus joined Matthew or Levi for dinner in Matthew or Levi's house, he changed his name from Matthew or from Levi to Matthew. The people became upset. Jesus was hanging around with hypocrites, tax collectors, and sinners. Yet Jesus responded this way. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have come not to call the righteous, but the sinners." St. Augustine, a great writer and theologian of the late 4th and early 5th century, said, "The church is a hospital." Wow, now that's a radical thing. Hey, if you're sick, I know, go to the hospital. But if you're sick spiritually, come to church. Come to church. The church is full of sick people who are desperately in need of a cure. The church is really a fellowship of forgiven sinners. Did you hear me? The church is a fellowship of forgiven sinners. We are sinners who walk in one baptism, one hope, one forgiveness of sin, one faith, and in one Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father of all. We are the communion of saints because we live in the hope and faith of God's outrageous grace, a grace that is so outrageous that it calls us the most excellent of sinners, holy. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, and I believe in the communion of saints. Communion means a sharing of something we have in common. Each time we meet, we are sharing in the fellowship of Christ. It's one of the reasons we called the Seed Christian Fellowship the Seed instead of a church. We called it a fellowship. Each time we meet, we're sharing our common fellowship in Christ, and we believe in this sharing. We believe in the community we have here in our church, and we believe in the community that's listening to these broadcasts, and over the and also the 3 million believers that are out there listening. I am reminded of the story written by Walter Wangren called The Rag Man. I'm going to read part of it. "I saw a strange sight. I stumbled upon a story most strange, like nothing in my life, my street sense, my sly tongue had ever prepared me for. Hush, child, hush now, and I'll tell you the story. Even before the dawn, one Friday morning, I noticed a young man, handsome and strong, walking the alleys of our city. He was pulling an old cart filled with clothes, both bright and new, and he was calling in a clear tenor voice, 'Rags!' Oh, the air was foul and the first light filthy to be crossed by such sweet music. 'Rags, new rags for old, I'll take your tired rags, rags.' Now this is a wonder, I thought to myself, for the man stood 6'4" and his arms were like tree limbs, hard and muscular, and his eyes flashed intelligence. Could he find no better job than this, to be a rag man in the inner city? I followed him. My curiosity drove me, and I was not disappointed. Soon the ragman saw a woman sitting on her back porch. She was sobbing into a handkerchief, sighing and shedding a thousand tears. Her knees and elbows made a sad X. Her shoulders shook. Her heart was breaking. The ragman stopped his cart. Quietly, he walked to the woman, stepping around tin cans, dead toys, and Pampers. 'Give me your rag,' he said gently, 'and I'll give you another.' He slipped the handkerchief from her eyes. She looked up, and he laid across her palm a linen cloth so clean and new that it shined. She blinked from the gift of the giver. Then he began to pull his cart again. The ragman did a strange thing. He put her stained handkerchief on his own face, and then he began to weep, to sob as grievously as she had done, his shoulders shaking. He slipped the handkerchief from her eyes, and he looked up, and he laid across his palm a linen cloth so clean and new that it shined. She blinked from the gift to the giver. Then, as he began to pull his cart away, the ragman did a strange thing. He put his stained handkerchief on his own face, and then he began to weep, to sob as grievously as she had done, his shoulders shaking, yet she was left without a tear. 'This was a wonder,' I breathed to myself, and I followed the sobbing ragman, like a child who could not turn away from the mystery. 'Rags, rags, new rags for old.' In a little while, when the sky showed gray behind the rooftops and I could see the shredded curtains hanging out black windows, the ragman came upon a girl whose head was wrapped in a bandage, whose eyes were empty. Blood soaked her bandage. A single line of blood ran down her cheek. Now the tall rag man looked upon this child with pity, and he drew a lovely yellow bonnet from his cart. "Give me your rag," he said, tracing his own line on his cheek, "and I'll give you mine." The child could only gaze at him while he loosened the bandage, removed it, and tied it around his own head. The bonnet he set on hers, and I gasped at what I saw, for with the bandage went the wound. Against his brow it ran a darker, more substantial blood, his own. "Rags, rags, I take old rags," the sobbing, bleeding, strong, intelligent ragman. The sun hurt both the sky now and my eyes, and the ragman seemed more and more in a hurry. "Are you going to work?" he asked a man who leaned against a telephone pole. The man shook his head. The ragman pressed on. "Do you have a job?" "Are you crazy?" sneered the man. He turned around from the pole, revealing the right sleeve of his jacket flat and the cuff stuck in its pocket. He had no arm. So said the ragman, "Give me your jacket and I'll give you mine." So much quiet authority in his voice. The one-armed man took off his jacket, so did the ragman, and I trembled at what I saw, for the ragman's arm stayed in his sleeve, and when the other put it on, he had two good arms, thick as tree limbs. But the ragman only had one. "Go to work," he said. After that, he found a drunk lying unconscious beneath an army blanket, an old man, hunched, weazened, and sick. He took the blanket and wrapped it around himself, but for the drunk, he left new clothes, and now I had to run to keep up with the ragman, though he was weeping uncontrollably and bleeding freely at the forehead, pulling his cart with one arm and stumbling from drunkenness, falling again and again and exhausted, old and sick, yet he went with terrible speed. On spider's legs, he skittered across the alleys of the city, his mile, this mile and the next, until he came to the limits, and then he rushed beyond. I wept to see the change in this man. I hurt to see a sorrow, and yet I need to see where he was going in such a haste. This little old ragman, he came to the landfill, he came to the garbage pits, and I waited to help him. But what to find? But I hung back, hiding. He climbed a hill with tormented labor. He cleared a little space on the hill, and then he sighed, and he lay down. He pillowed his head on the handkerchief and a jacket, and he covered his bones with an army blanket, and he died. Oh, how I cried to witness that death. I slumped in a junkyard and wailed and mourned as one who had no hope, because I have come to love the ragman. Every other face had faded in the wonder of this man, and then I cherished, but he died. I sobbed myself to sleep. I did not know how long, or could I know how long I had slept through Friday night, Saturday night, and the next night too. And then on Sunday morning, I was wakened with violence, light, pure light, demanding light, slammed against my sour face, and I blinked, and I looked, and I saw the first wonder of all. There was the ragman folding the blanket most carefully, a scar on his forehead, but alive, and besides that, healthy. There was no sign of sorrow or age, or all the rags that he had gathered shined with cleanliness. Well, then I lowered my head, and trembling all, I saw myself walk up to the ragman. I told him my name with shame, for I was sorry. I was a sorry figure next to him, and then I took off my clothes in that place, and I said to him with dear yearning in my voice, "Dress me." He dressed me, my Lord. He put new clothes on me, and I am a wonder beside him. The ragman, the Christ, by Walter Rankin. Listen, God wants to take your old rags and call you into the holy communion of the saints. I want you to know that God loves you. That's why I do these programs, because I want you to know that God loves you, and he wants to take your rags and put his holiness on you. Know that God loves you, and so do I. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers, growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.